Before Yaakov goes down to Mitzrayim to go meet Yosef after 22 years, he sends Yehuda ahead of him. The Torah tells us in this week's parasha, "Ve'es Yehuda shalach lefanav el Yosef lehoros lefanav Goshna ve'yevau artzik Goshen." And Rashi tells us, what does it mean that he sent Yehuda ahead of him? Rashi says, "Kodem she'egiyah l'shem," before he would get there. And what was he doing? He was going to set up a base Talmud, to set up a base Medrash, where Yaakov can come down and learn Torah in. So why didn't Yaakov wait until he got there to build this base Medrash? Why did he send Yehuda ahead of him to go set it up? So Moshe Wolfson explains that Yaakov understood he was leaving Eretz Yisrael. He understood he was going to Golus. And this was an incredibly significant Yerida in Kiddush and Tara. So he sent Yehuda ahead of him so that it wouldn't be Yerida in Golus, or Yerida to Golus, but rather he'd be traveling to a base Medrash. And I think we have to learn a lot from this idea in terms of recognizing, as Rav Wolfson points out, that this is the parsha of not just the Shvatim going to Golus, but Yaakov Avinu, and now Bnei Yisrael, as an entity, as Knesset Yisrael, as Am Yisrael, are now going to Golus. And if it's Bnei Yisrael going to Golus, we in Golus need to look back at these parashiyos, as Maisa Avosin Labonim, and to think about what can we learn from this episode. So Rolson points out, Ki Yehudi Afilu Im Nofel Mimadregaso, even when a Jew, a Yid, is falling from his Madrega, wherever a person is holding a life, if we feel like we have a certain Yerida in Ruchnius, so we have to recognize that we're bidarko la'aliyah yosra gedola. Says Rav Wolfson, we have to recognize that that step downwards is really a step to a greater level, to higher heights. And he says, Kemo Yaakov Vinu shemafsiya rishona shiyotam eretz kanan. The first step of Yaakov Vinu on the way to Golos, on the way to Mitzrayim, was on the derech to a base medrash that Yosef and Yehuda were setting up for him. And it's not just in this week's parsha, but Rav Wolfson points out that this time of year, Vayigash, is very important, because in general the year is set up in a way that is incredibly informative. And that's as follows. The Jewish calendar is set up that whenever one Yontif ends, we're already preparing for the next one. After the Yom Tovim of Tishrei, we read Parshas Bereishis. Right? We're about to head into the winter months, the dark months. It's choshech, it's cold. The mazel of Esav is sholeit on that month, whatever that exactly means. But it's a dark time, and we don't really have Yom Tovim. So we finish Ar Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, and Simchas Torah. But then we read Bereishis. And in Bereishis we read Haor Ki Tovim. We read Or five times in Parshas Bereishis. What's that telling us? That's saying that prepare ourselves, get ready. The Chanukah is on the horizon. And the way to get through the beginning of the dark months is to be looking towards the horizon to see that Or of Chanukah. And every year after Chanukah, we get so excited and so enthusiastic about Chanukah, but then Chanukah comes to an end, and you take down your decorations, and you put away your Chanukiah, and life goes back to normal. But what do? We read Parshas Vayigash. And what happens in Parshas Vayigash? Yosef gives his brother his clothing, but strangely, he gives Binyamin five times the amount of clothing. And the Gemara in Megillah notes this. He says, what's going on here? Is Yosef out of his mind? This is how this whole entire thing started. His father favored him and gave him a special ketonas pasim. The brothers got super jealous. Now Yosef is giving Binyamin this clothing. Well, what's he thinking? And the Gemara explains that it's an allusion to Mordechai. That in the Purim story, Mordechai will go out milifnei amelech b'chamisha levush malchus. And those five chamisha levush malchus corresponds to the five sets of clothing that he gave to Binyamin. So Rav Wolfson explains we're always preparing for the next yontiv. And that's how we find the light in the darkness. This is how we survive Golus, by searching for and grabbing onto Ruchnius. This is why Yaakov sent Yehuda ahead of him to set up these Batei Medrash in Goshen. And the Torah, again, Urazu Torah, the Torah provides Chiyas for us in Golus. And Yemei Chanukah and Purim are the days of a Or HaBokeh B'Yemei HaChoshech. That is this light that's shining and illuminating for us in these dark days. But maybe we can take this idea a step further. Rabbi Akiva Tatz tells us the following. There's a famous mashal of Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva, where he talks about the chevra who are in jail, and then they make a jailbreak, and they all run away except for one guy. And the prison guard comes back, and he sees one guy remaining, and he starts to beat him and say, "You idiot, why didn't you leave?" And what's pshat? I always thought, maybe it's because I was always afraid of authority as a kid, but I always thought that this guy should get rewarded. He didn't run away from jail, he stayed there, he was a good inmate. So why did he get beat? What was he doing that got the guards so upset at him? So Rabbi Akiva Tatz explains the following. He says, before this guy had a chance to escape, he was trapped in jail, he was trapped and confined by his surroundings. However, once he had the opportunity to escape, and he decided not to, so he redefined his current reality. He's no longer, quote, trapped in jail. Rather, he's choosing to be there. You're not a guard who's keeping me hostage here. Rather, I am the person who's deciding to be here. And you have no shlita, you have no power over me, because it's up to me to be here. I decided to be here. And I think Rabbi Akiva Tetz says that's pshat in Gullus, and see peace of Yeshua. Why is it so important that a Jew needs to yearn for the Geula? Because if we don't yearn for the Geula, so what are we telling Hashem? We're redefining the Gullus that we're in right now. We're saying, no, it's taka, not so bad. The Gullus is totally fine. I don't need to yearn for something better, for something bigger. The Gullus that we're in right now is totally fine as it is. And I think for one more step, there's a beautiful idea in the Sefer Talei Chaim by the Chalban in Parshas Vayigash. He talks about, again, this idea of Tzipis LeYeshua. And he says that one can only be aware of how devoid our current reality in Avodas Hashem is if you think about the future. He calls it a Mabat LeAtid, if we're looking towards the future. Because we have to recognize that we're lacking a Beis HaMikdash, we're lacking Hashras HaShechina, we don't have any Nevi'im, we don't have Moshe Rabbeinu leading us, we don't have Eliyahu HaNavi, we don't really understand anything about Kodshim and Taros and Batei Mikdash and anything going on. Tefillah is difficult. Our relationship with Hashem is hard to connect to. So how do we stir ourselves? How do we really think? How do we really connect? So it's only going to be when we think about the future. When we think about the reality of a Beis HaMikdash, the reality of Hashem HaShechina, what the Yamim Tovim will look like, what Shalosh Regalim will look like. Everything that we do will be elevated. And that's how it works in business also, in business life in general. We think about and compare the ideal and envisioned goal or state with what we're currently doing. And if it's not in line, so then we have to fix what we're doing right now so that we can accomplish the goals that we want. He gives the mashal of a Rebbe. If a Rebbe has a certain Talmud, if he believes in the abilities of that Talmud and envisions his Talmud attaining greatness, so then that's going to affect how the Rebbe engages and relates to this student. But if a Rebbe doesn't think about the potential of a child at all, so then he's not going to interact with this kid in any sort of elevated type of manner. He's just going to relate to the kid as this, you know, sixth grade boy is. He might be a little immature, he might be a little inconsistent, he might act childish, whatever it may be. But the point is, the Rebbe's not viewing this kid as a potential Gadol Hador or leader of Klal Yisrael. The Rebbe's never going to be able to help that kid succeed because he lacks a fundamental belief in the greatness and the potential of the student. And I think, maybe to say it in a little bit more nuanced way, when we talk about potential, we're so used to saying that so-and-so has such amazing potential, and if he works hard, he can accomplish great things. But the Chaban is saying that's really incorrect. It's not that, oh, if he works hard, he can accomplish great things, but rather, he can become so great, so right now he ought to work harder and he ought to act differently so that he can get there. Right? When we think about the future, when we have that Mabat La'atid, when we're thinking about what can be, so then you have to change how you're acting right now. So perhaps maybe to have a connection on what Rav Wolfson is saying, that it's not just that there's an or on the horizon and we get through the Choshech and the darkness of Gullus by looking towards that horizon and waiting for the or to come. But rather, if we know that there's or on the horizon, that's going to impact how we act right now. We're going to be different Jews if we know that there's a Hanukkah, if we know that there's a Purim, if we know that there's Ruchni is coming. So you're not just going to sit idly by and wait for that to come, but you're going to act differently right now to better prepare yourself to be makabel those oros. And this is where Rav Meir Twersky explains why the Rambam makes such a big deal about Bias HaMashiach and Tzipis LeYeshua. Why does it need to be one of the Yud Gimel Yikarim of Yadlis? Why not just jump on the bandwagon when it gets here? I mean, okay, Mashiach's here, Givaldik, let's chap a rein. Why is it so important? Why is it one of the six questions we're asked when we get up to Shemaim? So he answered that by having, again, this Mabat HaAtid, it changes the way we act right now. It affects everything we do. When the Rambam talks about these things, when he says we have to believe in Mashiach, we have to be mitzap Yeshua, when he talks about Olam Haba, the reason that it's integral to Jewish belief is because if you believe in those things, then you're going to change how you act right now. It's going to impact the way we act right now if you know that these things are coming. And maybe that's also why the question of Tzipis Yeshua, we get up to Shemaim, the Gemara on Shabbos tells us we're asked six questions. One of those questions is Tzipis Yeshua. So why is that one of the questions? Who cares? So perhaps, like, to say it in a little bit of a different way, why didn't Hashem say, oh, were you a mensch? Did you have nice midos? How was your ben on mechaviro? You know, he could have asked the question a million different ways. Instead, Hashem asked us Tzipis Yeshua. This was the catch-all. Hashem says, were you anticipating the Geula? Were you awaiting the Yeshua? And if you say yes, then Hashem doesn't need to ask you any more questions, because He knows that if you were waiting and anticipating the Geula and its arrival, so then for sure that would impact the way we act. And I think that's this idea. When we learn from these parashios of going into Golos, it's that not only are we just waiting for, or not only are we waiting for Ruchnias and Kedusha, but we have to make sure we're actively seeking out that or in that Kedusha, and that is the way that we're not just going to survive in the Golos, but that's the way we're going to thrive in the Golos.